Okay, we're on page 126 at the bottom, page Lamed Vav on top. I think you should both get up together. Okay, last week we learned the following. Now, the Rebbe quotes a Zohar. He says, what happens if somebody tries very hard to be stimulated to love and fear God, but it's just not working? You think, and you know, and you do, but you're not stimulated to get the feeling of godliness. So he quoted the Zohar that says like this. Sometimes you have a thick piece of wood, like for a fireplace, right? You take a match, it's not going to light it. It's too coarse and thick and big, it's not going to work. What do you need to do? You need to bust it up. Okay? Like he said, you need to break it. So he said, what's the problem? Sometimes the body is so coarse and thick that the fire of the neshama doesn't catch on to it. And he says, what happens? Therefore, you need to become sometimes despicable in your own eyes. And to really sit down, this is very rare, though, the Rebbe says, but every so often when you see that you're too full of yourself and too thick and too coarse and it's just not working, you need to sit down with a mirror and tell yourself how really bad you are. Not, God forbid, to bring the depression, just to bust up the thickness that the wood, which is smaller, can catch on the fire. And he said like this, because a person has to understand that what gives him life? The animal soul. Only a tzaddik lives from the godly soul. But even a Beinoni, even this great person that never sins, he also lives in the body. And like he says, Avul b'Beinoni, three lines from the end of the page. The fact that the essence of the animal soul, which is in the blood and flesh of the person, is not transformed to good. The Yetzahara, the evil inclination, is still an evil inclination. That is the person. Meaning a person has to realize like that. What am I? Not my godly soul. Only a tzaddik is the godly soul. A normal person, even a guy who doesn't sin, they are controlled and given life by the animal soul. If that's the case, the person needs to realize that they're very, very distant from Hashem. Because this desire, the power of desire that the animal soul has, can also desire forbidden things, which are against the will of Hashem. And I'll read and then I'll explain the whole thing. Even though he's not planning to sin, they're not despicable by him. And this is what Alter Rebbe is saying like this. The fact that you can have a desire for something forbidden, even though you don't want to do it, but you would love to eat treif, you would love to commit adultery, you'd love to speak Lashon Hara, you'd love to do everything under the sun. Yeah? You don't desire to do it. You know you're not going to do it. But the fact that the desire exists shows that you're extremely low. Because what are you wanting to do? What do you enjoy? Something that God doesn't want you to do. By a tzaddik, evil is despicable by them. They tell a story about the Maggid and other great tzaddikim. The people wanted to make fun of them. So they brought into them an immodestly dressed woman, and the tzaddik actually vomited. It made him sick. By a tzaddik, anything which is contrary to Hashem is something which is despicable by them. And the fact that by us it's not despicable, again, not that we're going to do it, But the fact that it's not despicable shows we have a very strong connection to it. That we would want even to think of wanting to do something against the will of Hashem. And he says this makes us worse than the animals. And this is good for human ego. An animal can never go against the will of Hashem. An animal does what it's programmed by God to do. Even when a lion rips apart another animal, right? The lion doesn't have free choice to do it or not to do it. A lion, animals, are run by instinct. When they want to do something, they do it. It's not bad. That's the way Hashem made them. They're programmed to do what they do. An animal, therefore, never, even a pig, which is forbidden, a lion, which is forbidden, they never, ever do against the will of Hashem. A person, that the Rebbe is saying over here, not only when you actually sin and you go against the will of Hashem, are you worse than an animal? The fact that you even can want to do something Hashem doesn't want automatically makes you worse than an animal. And he says, what's he doing over here? He's saying, this is what a person has to tell himself, that I'm too thick and coarse and I need to chop myself up for the fire of the neshama to catch onto the wood to ignite a bigger piece of wood and a bigger piece of wood until the whole body can get lit up. So he says, the fact that it's not despicable, ubezeh, he says, in this respect, hugarua umeshukitz umesuv yeser, he's worse, more despicable, more abominable, more than balichayim atzmeim, than the trade for animals, v'shkotzim v'ramashim kanal, and the bugs and the creepy things, which are treif, that he mentioned before. Like it says in the Pasuk, anechi selas, I'm like a worm, v'lo ish. And he says like this, v'gam k'shemezbeg mizgaber es v'nafshu alikis. Even a person who taka, you know, doesn't stimulate love of God a whole day, but when they daven, they do. He says, La'eira ava l'Hashem b'shasa tefillah, to awaken this love of Hashem in davening, eina be'emes lamita l'gami, it's also not real. Really emes. Why? Me'achar shechalefes ve'everes achar tefillah. Because it leaves and passes after davening. When davening is over, this open love to Hashem just ceases to be. So the Rebbe said like this, even a guy or woman who is openly feeling godliness at the time of prayer, it's also not real. Why isn't it real? Because if it be real, it would last forever. The fact that it's not lasting forever is because it's not real. You know, a lot of times, people like a Yom Kippur or whatever, they get stimulated to do things, you know, or we're coming to the season of New Year's resolutions, yeah. People make resolutions, yeah. It's funny, a week after the resolution, what is Rosh Hashanah resolutions, January 1st resolutions, somehow they seem to peter off, yeah. By the way, that shows that it was never real. If it was real, it would last forever. That's the definition of emes. Emes is something that lasts forever. And therefore, in Perek Yud-Beis and Perek Yud-Gimel before, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explained that a Beinoni, the fact that when davening, the Yetzer goes to sleep, you know, the Nefesh HaBamis goes to sleep, and therefore he's stimulated in love of Hashem. He said, reality, realistically speaking, after davening is over, you close the sitter, you go out into business, that love is not there anymore. So what happens? That means that even when it was there, it wasn't real. Even when it was there, it wasn't real. So he says, a person should think to themselves like this. I have a desire to do evil, which, by the way, makes me worse than the animals, because the animals don't desire to do evil. Evil is when you have free choice to do good and bad, and you do evil. If you're programmed only to do evil, and you do evil, it's not bad. Evil, like we learned many times, why did Hashem make evil in the world? Why did God create evil? If He wants us to do good, He should only make good. Because good is not good if you don't have the choice to do evil. If you can't do evil, then good is not good. Because what else are you supposed to do? You can only do good. Is that worth anything? What?
And people that come from such a harsh, sometimes you see like in the ghetto areas where they're exposed only to evil, is their choice to do something a little bit better from where they come from? Or is it to get break out of that, you know?
What do you think?
As long as the person has a soul, a neshama, then they can rise out of it somehow. But
addiction is not an excuse in Yiddishkeit. You know why addiction is not an excuse in Yiddishkeit? Because a person has the ability to overcome the addiction. Now, a person that was born, like you said, in a ghetto, South Central, or whatever it may be. Okay? Obviously, less is expected from them by Hashem than a person that's born in a sophisticated area. Right? We don't know what's expected from that person that's in the ghetto. One thing we do know, though, whatever Hashem expects from them, that they need to do. You don't expect from a first grader what you expect from an eighth grader. I mean, hopefully not. Right? You expect a first grader to do what a first grade could do. Like the famous Rav Zusha Anapola, when he said that when I die and I come up to heaven, they're not going to beat me up, so to speak, why I wasn't my Rebbe the Maggid. How can I beat my Rebbe the Maggid? They're going to beat me up why I wasn't Zusha, meaning why I wasn't what I was supposed to do. But the truth is, in Yiddishkeit, you can't say I'm addicted and therefore I can't control myself and therefore I can't do it. Okay? Unless, and Hashem, because if Hashem says to this person, this is what you need to do, then the person could do it. It might be harder, okay? But from a person on a higher level, much more is demanded from them. So, whatever way it works, it works. Addiction, according to Tate, is not a sickness. It's a situation somebody puts themselves into, but if they want, they can get themselves out of it. And therefore, Dr. Rebbe is saying over here that the person, in order to break themselves, so to speak, if they make a reckoning that the fact that they want to do something that Hashem doesn't want it to, even though they're not going to do it, that makes them worse than the animals, because the animals never go against the will of Hashem. And he says, even if sometimes you get this urge of greatness, but nevertheless, after davening it leaves, and therefore you're back to where you started, and therefore it's not real, so, like, what makes me so great?
There's no merit. Like, Hashem made the animal like that, so Hashem made me like this. So
no, He didn't make me like this.
He did make me.
We have free choice.
That's what I'm saying. So Hashem created me with free choice. Why would I be lower than an animal? I mean, I always hear this. I mean, I understand that.
Because an animal.
Hashem created the animal without a free choice, and He created us without.
With a free choice.
Right.
Why did He create us with free choice and animals not? Because we're on a higher level.
Right.
Okay. So therefore, the fact that Hashem gave me the free choice, bottom line is, an animal can never go against the will of Hashem.
Right.
And a person, and I could.
Right.
So that makes me worse than them.
That's what Hashem made.
Correct. Correct. Okay. Correct. But why did Hashem make me like that? Because when I choose good over evil, it raises me to a level that obviously no animals can reach. And no other being could reach that level, because the person has that level of ability of free choice. And I'm not getting into it now, but just to use Hasidic vocabulary, the reason why a person has free choice is because he's rooted in the essence of Hashem, where good and bad are both equal. In other words, we are so great, we are rooted in the essence of Hashem, that good and bad, because by definition, free choice is when two things are exactly equal. If I have gold and dirt, okay, and somebody says, okay, choose one, and you choose gold over dirt, that's not free choice. Gold is better than dirt. Okay? If I have a white cup and a green cup, and you say choose one, and I choose the green cup instead of the white cup, that's not real free choice. Because I might prefer green better than white. Even if I have two white cups, one's on the right, one's on the left, and you say choose one, I might have a leaning towards right over left or left over right, which causes me to choose the one over the next. It's not free choice. Free choice is only where two things are exactly alike. It's one of the hardest concepts of Chassidus to understand. When two things are exactly equal, and I choose one over the next. Right? Now, in order to choose good from bad, okay, it has to be that good and bad are completely equal. That means there's a level of godliness where good and bad are exactly the same. Because God is above good and he's above bad, and he makes good and he makes bad, and he's above both of them. Okay? And therefore, there's a Gemara that Bar Mitzvah can say in the Maimer. Which means, if you sin, you think you do anything to God. If you do good, you think you do anything to God. Right? There's a level of godliness which is above good and bad. In fact, the Alter Rebbe says, later on in the Tanya, that when we say we're the chosen nation, all the expressions of choice in davening. What did Hashem choose? He chose our neshama over Goy's neshama. That's not choice. They're different. The Alter Rebbe says, you know what Bechira is? In the body of a Jew that looks like a body of a Goy, Hashem chose that this body should be Jewish, and this body should be a goy. He didn't choose that there should be a goy. He chose that this body should be a Jewish body. The reason why a Jew has bechira, because a Jew originates in such a level of God where everything is equal, good and bad are equal. And that's why we could choose, because we come from God who could choose. But Alter Rebbe is saying, how does a person, like, break themselves up a little bit, bust themselves that the wood should be chopped up for the fire to catch, by thinking these things? And he says like this, Befratin especially, like 10 lines into the page, if a person will remember, the impurity of his nefesh, bechatas ne'udim, in the youthful sins, you know, when they were wild, and the blemish they did in the spiritual worlds. And over there is lemaila miazman. Over there is above time. Therefore, okeilu pogam v'nitma hayem chas v'shalom mamish. It's like you blemish today. That means when somebody did an aveda, right? They blemish their soul, they blemish levels of godliness. That level of godliness is above time and place. Later on, I'm sorry, we learned it already. The Alter Rebbe said like this, when you do a mitzvah, okay, let's say a man puts on tefillin 10 minutes a day. It's not that 10 minutes you're connected to God and it's over. Because you're binding yourself to Hashem who's above time and place, so it's not that you're bound for 10 minutes, you're bound eternally. When a woman benches licht, when a woman does Shabbos candles, she is bound to Hashem on a continuous level because Hashem is above time and place. He says the same thing as when you sin. When you blemish godliness, you might have done it at 10 o'clock in the morning, but the bottom line, that blemish, which is above time and place, is constant. And the Alter Rebbe says, even if you do tshuva, after kvar also tshuva nechayna, even though you did tshuva already, so nechayna, it's wiped off. Hari ikira tshuva belev, primary tshuva is in the heart. Ba'alev, yesh bei bechines umadreges rabes, the heart is very many different levels. Ba'akir lefi mashuhu adam, everything based on the person, or lefi azman v'amokim, based on the time and place, as it's known to the Kabbalists. Meaning like this. Let's say, we were speaking before about dirt, right? Let's say you have a dirt spot on a garment, right? And you wash it off. It's not there. If you take a microscope, you'll still see it's there. Then you clean it on that level. Then you'll take a stronger microscope, and you'll still see that's remnants there. And even when you clean that off, you'll take a stronger microscope, you'll still see that it's there. Okay? Now, what I've been saying here like this. A person does an aveda, they do tshuva. Okay. Tshuva cleaned it. But that's only on this level. When you go to a higher level, meaning you reach a higher level, then you're looked at with a bigger magnifying glass. And if you looked at with a bigger magnifying glass, the spot's still there. And even though you do tshuva on that level, it's still going to be there with a bigger magnifying glass. And the Alter Rebbe is going to continue now and says, you know how I know this? Because if you did proper tshuva ready, why isn't the fire catching on? If you don't have any blemishes, so why isn't the fire of the neshama catching on? The fact that the fire of the neshama is not catching on shows that the person is still connected to evil. And therefore he says, don't think you're so great. But again, this has to be emphasized. The Alter Rebbe is talking about a person talking to themselves, not talking to somebody else. As far as you and somebody else are concerned, they did everything. They're finished. They're perfect. He says a person is trying to get inflamed with the fire of the neshama and it's not working. He says, you know what your problem is? You're a bit too big. The wood is too thick. You want to catch it? Chop it up. How do you chop it up? But really, he's saying, I'm not that great.
But isn't it better to just put what tempts you away from you that and recognize that this is a bad thing, whatever the chocolate cookies, you're trying to diet or whatever is your, you know. I said better just to push it aside.
Yeah, but the evil desire is still there.
So when you put a fence around the Torah, we're in better shape. You say?
Yeah, but he's talking about feelings. He's not talking about action.
Okay.
And he says, Lochein achshav b'shozu, therefore now, shereya ba'atzme, that he sees within himself, b'leisalik b'neheder the neshmasa, that today the fire of the neshama is not kindled in my body. Mechlal, we see Shahayim leinishkabla tshuvasei. Today, your tshuva on your level today, your tshuva wasn't accepted. And that's why, by the way, David HaMelech says in Tillim, because it is called the Chatasi Negdi Samid. David HaMelech says, my sin is always opposite me, even though he did tshuva. But today he's on a higher level, and the higher level of today, he needs a higher level of tshuva. You're never done, by the way. You keep going and...
But his tshuva was real, and then higher and higher.
And the first grade level, the tshuva was accepted. Yeah. Now you're in second grade? So yesterday's work wasn't accepted.
So isn't it the same with the Bein and Eli Rishnei? It's not that it's not MS, his davening.
And his level, it's been. Yeah, but even before in Parakeet Gimel and Yudbeis, Al Rebbe said, on the Bein and his level, it's real. But Emes Lamitai, real, real, you know, the real, real, then it's not.
So what's the note of hope then for a person?
Again, this is not to get to give up hope. This is, like I said, this is the pharmacy prescription to ignite the neshama when it's not working. Okay? What do you need to do? To break yourself. Not somebody else. To break yourself, because then the fire of the neshama is able to be kindled. And again, you know why this doesn't cause depression? Because this is supposed to make the person realize, but look how great I could become when I do tshuva.
Does it also mean that your neshama is ticking, it's working, if Hashem is working with you, so to speak? Like some people who, let's say...
Let me tell you a little secret. The fact that it bothers the person that the fire is not caught on, that itself is a very great level. Think about it. What's bothering this person? Not that he can't go to Munchies. What bothers the person that he can't, he doesn't feel godliness? Right? That itself is a great level. We said many times, Siddha says, if a person sins and they feel guilty, it's a great level. You know what the problem is? When you keep sinning and you don't feel guilty anymore. That's when it's no good. The fact that the person is bothered, that the fire of the neshama is not catching on him, that itself is a great thing. Okay.